The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is Talkin' Cowboys.
Streaming live from the Dallas Cowboys World Headquarters
at the Star in Frisco.
C.D. Lamb, touchdown.
Parsons has second. Prescott keeps it, and he bangs it into the touchdown.
And now your hosts, Isaiah Standback, Nick Harris, John Mashoda, and Kyle Yeomans.
It's an off-season edition of Talking Cowboys presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company, live from the Star in Frisco, Texas, and the SWBC studios. Going a little bit early here on this Tuesday, yes. 9 a.m. show. We're back to our normal time that we have during the season. Mm-hmm. Maybe everybody should, we should just wake up every day.
I'm just coming back here.
I'm down with it.
Make it happen again.
Stop it. John's early riser. John's down. Come on, John.
John's like, I've got Duke basketball to watch.
That's exactly right. I don't have time for this early
rising.
At 9
in the morning.
I'm here.
I don't need to be up at 9 in the morning.
Glad you're with us here on Talking Cowboys. Plenty to talk about here over the next 45 minutes. And by plenty, I mean not really a whole lot.
Oh, there's a lot.
What do you mean? Is there?
Oh, what? Yes, there is.
What are we talking about?
Well, Kevontae Turpin's value just went up.
Yeah, okay. For sure.
Yeah. You think so?
I know it.
We talking about possible kickoff return changes?
Oh, there's going to be some kickoff returns. You will not get up and go to the bathroom during kickoff returns any longer, Kyle.
Okay. Well, let's start there. Let's start with NFL rule changes, because there's a couple of them. One of them has already been approved, and that's the hip drop tackle. The NFL owners unanimously approve a rule that bans the hip drop tackle, which, for lack of a better term, is just a tackle where you pull them to the ground by their hip and you're underneath them, right? I mean, is there an actual definition to the hip drop?
It's good that you can define it, but J.J. Watt cannot.
What did he say?
He said he can't define it. He's upset about it, understandably. Yeah. But he can't define it. What's exactly? It's the swivel, right?
I understand what they're doing in terms of trying to protect the players. It is very similar to that of a horse collar. However, there's only so many ways to get guys down to the ground. Mm-hmm. And based upon the angle at which you're coming at a person who is a ball carrier, if you're coming from behind typically, how else do you get them down? I grab you, right, wherever I can, okay? Typically, I'm going to grab you around your waist, okay? And then I'm going to stop my momentum so that your momentum can stop. And typically, that results in my hip usually going towards the ground and, unfortunately, on your legs sometimes. So how can I tackle you from behind or the side?
Yeah, I would say I think Micah Parsons is a good person to kind of refer to on this, because of the fact of, like he points out, and he did several times this past season, how the league is built to be offensive. Mm-hmm. And so it limits a lot of things, like how many times he's being held and how many versus how many times it's actually called. And so, yes, it sucks for the defense, but I find it very hard to believe at the end of the day, like it, obviously the players, you know, they make the money and it's important, but it's not where it's, this game isn't where it's at without the fans. And I don't see it being one of those things where this is going to be so dramatic that the fans are going to notice a change. I think, if anything, it's going to make it even more high scoring and exciting. So, yes, it sucks for defensive players, no question about it. But I don't look at it as some rule changer and just like, yeah, I don't even know. This game's going to be unwatchable. I'm not even going to be able to stand this. Like, here's the other thing is, like, how many times does it really happen even in a game?
A lot. A lot.
where it's actually going to be called. Like, they're not going to call it on every single one.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking about just off the Cowboys, like just off this past season.
The fact that if my fingertip grazes a quarterback's face mask, that's a penalty. Like, well, it's getting ridiculous.
That's not the hip drop, though.
But I'm saying they're going to be calling it like that. Those type of plays change ball games.
Yeah.
And this is going to change ball games. You go out there, you make a good stop. All of a sudden, you stop somebody from getting a first down, and all of a sudden, oh, it's a hip drop because you tackle them from behind.
But. Whether you're talking about that or you're talking about the quarterback thing, not touching the quarterbacks, again, it sucks for the defense, but it's in the best interest for the NFL for those quarterbacks to be healthy. Mm-hmm. It's in the best interest for the NFL for those quarterbacks to play 15, 20 years, not play, you know, 5 to 10. That is by far in the best interest for the NFL, and it's really, I know, especially if you're a defense player, you don't want to hear this, but it's in the best interest for the NFL for things to look good on offense, because that's what people tune into. Like that hardcore, like us in this room right here, a lot of people listening, guaranteed. We're just fine with a 10-7 game in the playoffs, like that, whatever, like that. I don't think your general fans want that. I think that and as the game continues to grow like no other, I think that people love the offense, and I think that's why ultimately the fans aren't going to turn away because of this.
And they want to see their players healthy, too. Right. I think that's a big part of it.
I mean, look at the look at the NBA. Do you think that they're playing harder defense now than ever before?
I don't, and that's why I don't watch it.
Yeah, well, I don't either. But
like, that's why I don't, that's literally but why, I'm saying literally the reason why I don't watch the NBA anymore, because there's no defense. Yeah. You can't play defense.
See, but the NBA makes more money than it ever has been.
Right,
ever has
100%.
In its entire life.
They're not making these changes for the players.
No.
There's no question about that.
Yeah.
But what
From
the player's perspective, they are making this game almost impossible to play as a defender.
As a defender. You left that at the end.
Yeah.
I start the sentence.
Okay, but what percentage of the game is defense? Because
Tony Pollard's not upset about this.
I know. I mean, like the players know, like, they're not going to be upset about it. I'll take the penalty, but it's still BS.
Yeah.
That's the mentality. Yeah, that's a BS penalty, but I'll take it. You know, it's in my favor. It's in my team's favor. I'll take anything that's in my team's favor, but it's still a BS.
I mean, if I'm a defender, I'm mad. But also, if I'm a running back, I also don't love that my pay scale keeps going down. But that's what happens.
Well, a lot of – I mean, the two sides to this, the owners unanimously agreed to this. So
yeah, because they're protecting their investments.
Sure.
100%.
The NFL Players Association adamantly opposed it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Detrimental to the game is what they said.
Yes. So what does that tell you about the way the players view this?
Well, I mean, Kenyon Drake, who did get injured by a hip drop tackle, said, I don't care about popular opinion. I lost my right ankle in a quarter of the 21 season to this type of tackle. Something had to give, and I'm glad it's not anybody's legs/ankles anymore.
Mm.
Injuries happen. It sucks.
But again, an offensive player, whereas J.J. Watt.
Yeah, it's personal for him, right?
What the hell are we doing?
It's personal for him. But so is concussions for every person who's ever played the game of football. Right, that doesn't mean that you should take away hits to the chest because the top of your helmet might hit my chin strap. Like, the game's getting soft. Just call it how it is. As a former player, the game is getting soft, and as a former player, it's very difficult with these rule changes that they're continually making for players to actually play freely.
Defensively,
yeah.
Okay,
it's not hurting the offense; it's helping the offense. So they're not going to be complaining.
I get it, but it's hurting the game.
Mm. Okay. Mm. You think people are going to when I think of hurting the game, I think of doing things that's going to make people stop watching.
We look at the history of the basketball. Like, I can't speak for everybody else. I don't watch basketball because there's no defense.
Yeah.
There's no defense anymore. Like, I don't want to see somebody shoot the ball without being impeded. Like, I want to see somebody get stopped.
In the playoffs?
No.
The playoffs.
I don't watch the NBA. It's just it's whack to me now.
Yeah.
Yeah, how many steps away is it from flag football at this point?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, you show me somebody that can run full speed, you tackle somebody from behind, and how do you stop them?
You gotta bring them down from waist down. You can't
absolutely
tackle
above
the waist.
Do you tackle somebody by continuing to run fast?
Well, yeah, and then you have to wrap up their legs.
When you see a lion chase down a wildebeest, and he chases them down from behind, does he keep running full speed, or does he just go airborne and stop his weight?
Okay.
He drops his weight.
Drops his weight.
My comp would be if
that's how you get down something.
If there's a guy running by you and there were no rules, let's say it's just the Wild West, it'd be a lot easier to bring guys down if you could just grab him by the face mask. But you can't. And so you have to play around. You have to adapt. You have to adjust. And it's been going on since the beginning of time.
And it will continue to adjust.
Right.
But it's whack.
I don't disagree with you. I'm just, I don't think that it's going to get to the level where people like start turning away from the game. Like you have with, like you said, the NBA.
It's getting there.
You think so?
It's getting there. You can't touch a quarterback.
The hip drop tackle was
used. But if you have a good franchise quarterback, you're just fine with that.
It was used 230 times last year. They won't flag all 230 times this year. It'll mostly be here and there. Plus, I don't think 230 is going to be the number this year. If it's an illegal tackle, people aren't going
to. Everybody's in favor until it hurts your team's ability to go win a ball game.
I was going
to
say, how many of those were injuries? I think it was like 20.
Yeah. It's a high rate.
Yeah.
So
10%?
10% is a pretty high. That's one out of every 10 of those tackles is resulting in a either severe or season-ending injury.
Okay, if that's the case, then what percentage of snaps from the line of scrimmage, offensive, defensive linemen, result in concussions?
I mean, it's
did you feel the same way about the horse collar tackle?
I highly doubt that.
Did you feel the same way about the horse collar tackle?
Horse collar should be stopped.
Okay.
Yeah. Horse collar should have been stopped. Absolutely. Well, because you're like there's. That's the most compromising position for somebody. You can't go forward at all.
Right. Mm.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you have my back and you have my legs. I can't do anything. You're literally bending me in half.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. So, at least I still have my momentum going forward. You know what I mean? Like you got to get me down. Like, as an offensive player, you have the ability to get me down. Like, I'm not going to be mad. If I get injured, it sucks. But I knew it wasn't personal. It wasn't personal. Horse collar was a little personal. You know what I'm saying? You
know, grabbing, that's a decision.
Grabbing a face mask and not, once you realize you still have a face mask in your hand, not letting go, that's personal, right? Yep. This is, I'm getting you to the ground. I'm literally getting you to the ground. So, like, I'm not in favor of it. I'm always in favor of trying to protect players, mm-hmm. right, as much as possible, as long as you don't take away from the game. And I feel as if they're getting away from that because now, again, I go back to the quarterback thing because it's impossible now. It's almost ridiculous. Now, how many times have you seen your player, your team, not make a sack because of their understanding that if I continue playing, I'm most likely going to get a flag? So I pull off.
It does happen.
I stop running. Yeah. I stop tackling. I let go. I don't pull them to the ground. And then the quarterback runs off and makes a big play. And all of a sudden, it's a first down or a touchdown. And your team just suffered because of a rule change.
And you hate it. And I get it. And I don't, I'm not saying I like this, but I'm not even leaving this open for debate. I think this is a fact. I think your general NFL fan would rather see that Patrick Mahomes escape out, highlight 25-yard play, than stat sheet, sack. And it sucks. I'm not saying that it's right, and especially if that's your team that could have got the sack. That's fine. But I'm saying for the overall growth of the game, I think the NFL like listens to what you just said, and they're like, yeah, no, we'll live with that. That's fine. No, it's not fair, don't get me wrong. Yeah. Especially if you're a team, you have Micah Parsons. You don't want
to
hear that.
I missed the times where you had to respect going across the middle.
Oh, my God. Or the quarterback had to respect, a pass rush.
That's the game I grew up in.
Yeah.
We spent a half hour in practice saying, hey, if you run a shallow cross, have fun, because James Harrison's sitting there waiting on you.
If
you run a dog on an over route or a post, you might want to keep your head on a swivel, because there's a Troy Polamalu, or there's a Brian Dawkins, or there's an Ed Reed. Like, those guys are probably going to take your head off. So you might want to know exactly where you're going. Now, there's no reason for them to have any fear.
Yeah.
Zero. Because I know that I'm going to get a flag.
Yep.
This was one rule change. At the start of the show, I said it was the only one that has been passed so far. That's no longer the case. We have some breaking news. Do we have a breaking news sounder, Chris Beam, in the back? I don't know if there's
There it is.
Perfect. Thank you, Beam. Yeah, appreciate it. Well done. All right, the NFL needed 24 teams to approve the league's proposal to radically change the kickoff rule. The rule changed with 5 votes to spare. The final vote was 29-3 in favor of the rule change, with only the 49ers, the Raiders, and the Packers voting against it, according to Albert Breer. So the report is out there. The NFL has changed their kickoff rule. Under the new rule, 10 players on the kicking team and at least 9 players on the receiving team will line up just 5 yards apart and won't begin running until the ball gets back to the returner. So the returner has an opportunity to touch the ball, or it lands in the landing zone, the return zone. That's a little bit further back. Meaning players won't be going full speed until, or when they do indeed crash into each other, which has caused so many injuries on kickoffs in the past. Of the 22 players on the field, only the kicker and the 1 or 2 kickoff returners will line up separately from those players who are 5 yards apart. So the kickoff is different. Mm-hmm. It has been completely redone. And you're talking about changes to the game. The hip drop tackle is probably like a 5 or a 6. It's significant on a 1 to 10 scale mm-hmm. of how much it changes the game. This is more like an 8 or a 9.
For sure.
This is a massive shift in how the NFL is played.
That's why I came off the top rope in the beginning of the show, because Kevontae Turpin, his value just went up. Returners, I don't know that the gentleman from Texas who broke
Xavier
the,
Worthy.
Xavier Worthy's value in this draft just exponentially went up because of their ability now to have an impact as a return man in the game of football. The game ever since, I mean, we can go all the way back to, I just blanked out. Wow. Return man, Chicago Bears.
Yeah, you're talking about Devin Hester.
Devin Hester. Hester. That's the last return man that you could really think of that was like, ooh, outside of.
He's a Hall of Famer for
a reason. Yeah, so
there was
I mean,
a year when like Cordell Patterson was really good.
Yeah, he was good for him. Yeah, but then they changed the rules.
Yeah,
talking about rule changes. So they changed the rules to where now the kickoff, the kickers were kicking it through the doggone goalposts. And what did you start doing as a fan? Oh, I'm going to the bathroom. I don't care about kickoff. The rules now have changed, and now I have no reason to watch this aspect of the game. So now they're changing it back, and they're like, "Oh crap." We're losing that aspect of the game.
See,
and we're
getting the fans. Told you.
I'm absolutely glad
you're able to come full circle.
No, I've always been full circle there. But now they're changing it back because they went too far. They went too far. They went too far on whatever side, left, right. I don't care whatever side you want to go to. They made too much of a rule change. So now they have to revert back. And now they have to go to extreme and go back. And I was telling JR before the show started that I was a part of the XFL relaunch when I was working for the Renegades, and I was responsible for explaining these rule changes that are now being instilled into the NFL. And this change will drastically change how returns are done.
You can't even do a sneak onside kick now.
No. It will change how valuable your special teams coordinators are,
mm-hmm.
right? So kudos to the Cowboys for having one creative special teams coordinator in Bones Fossil. I'm sure he's loving this right now. He's probably in the booth on
the
whiteboard.
Your guy Bill Belichick's probably upset he's not in the game right now, because he'd probably come up with some real wild stuff off of this.
He probably would. But this is huge because of the fact that the kickoff team no longer has momentum.
Right.
They no longer have the momentum, and your return man is going to receive the ball with at least 25 yards of space between him and the next defender. That is huge, because now Kevontae Turpin, as dangerous as he is, now has the ability to receive the ball almost every kickoff, unless a team decides to kick it out the end zone and they get the ball back where? At the 30?
30.
Yep.
So it's either, do we want to put the ball at the 30, or do we want to let Turpin have an opportunity to have this ball in his hand with 25 yards of space between him and the next man that can stop him? It's a tough decision to make. Yeah, but if you do make that decision, now you're giving Turpin an opportunity to not only get you good field position, but a high probability that he can find an easy lane and hit that thing to the house.
That one's tough. What would you do? Would you do 30? Would you kick it out of the back of the end zone and just put it at the 30? That's a significant piece of field position.
You know, I would definitely kick it to an opposing player.
You would let him just
over,
try it.
Over kicking it out of the end zone. I mean, I guess it depends on who you have back there. I don't know if I'd kick it to Kevontae Turpin.
Turpin, probably not.
Well, that's the key part, yeah. What you just said there, is it depends on who it is. And because of this rule, one of the most interesting things could be that you see some players go back to return that you wouldn't have seen the last few years, where they're like, this is such an opportunity to make a big play. We're going to let, I don't know, Tyreek Hill or who knows, CeeDee Lamb or something like that. You know, I don't know. Yeah. Like, obviously the Cowboys wouldn't do that with having Turpin, but you know, a team that doesn't necessarily have a returner that's like an obvious over the top guy, in certain situations, they could put like a big time playmaker back there where they're like, yeah, why don't you go ahead and kick it to him? Let's just see what happens.
And you don't have that momentum necessarily that's going to cause injuries, yeah. Or I guess injuries as often as they were before. Yes.
Right.
This is a double win for the NFL.
So you might want to put a CD back there. Who knows?
This is a double win for the NFL because the NFL cuts back on injuries. That was the main reason why the XFL instilled this rule change when they first relaunched their season. Now mm-hmm. they're the UFL. But the main purpose behind it was, okay, let's cut back on injuries, right? The head trauma from the momentum of guys running for 40 yards and smashing head-to-head into another guy who's sitting back there waiting on him as a return blocker. That was the number one reason. So the NFL wins in that regard. They also win in the regard because now they get people watching kickoff returns again.
Actually a fun play.
It's actually
a fun
play.
I don't know if you watch the XFL, but it is a fun play.
This puts a ton of emphasis on your kicker now. And I'm not sure how many people are really thinking about that, because now as a kicker, your job becomes exponentially more difficult.
Now you got to place it.
You have to place it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The value of your kicker now is even greater, because now you need somebody who can put the ball as far back as possible without getting it into the end zone and put it in the corner, because that's where you want to place the ball. You want to make the returner return the ball from the corner, because now as a cover team, you can literally bottleneck him all the way into one aspect of the field. And if he wants to get out to where there's actual space, he's going to have to run the long route all the way across the field. So your kicker's job just became a lot more difficult. They can't just run up there and kick it out the back of the end zone anymore. They can't just run this, kick it straight, or place it a little bit to the right, or place it a little bit to the left. They want to put this thing in the corner, because otherwise you're giving the return man a ton of space.
Well, it's like having a great punter. Great punters don't just have hang time.
Correct.
Don't just kick it as far as they absolutely can. They put you in the coffin corner.
Yep.
So you have to the coffin corner is now a thing on kickoffs.
Facts.
Because it will continue to throw off returners and give your return team an opportunity to go mm-hmm. and cover. The strategy and the wackiness that could possibly come out of this is scratching the surface mm-hmm. just by this moving forward.
And also the kickoff coverage personnel.
Mm-hmm.
Kickoff coverage personnel is probably most likely going to be linebackers and defensive linemen.
More San Williams on special teams.
You're going to see a ton of D linemen, and you're going to see a ton of linebackers on kickoff team, because now you have 5 yards of space. Speed is no longer the greatest factor. Now I need size to move my guys out the way.
And how important is it to have multiple, probably tight ends, big bodies that can block.
Who are willing. Oh, yeah, you're talking about on the
opposite side.
Yes, absolutely.
You got to block. Yep. You got to find a way to block.
This changes personnel in a drastic way in terms of roster. So this is not just a rule change. This changes personnel groupings and how coaches and GMs now are going to fill those last roster spots as you start coming down to the end of training camp. This is a very important rule change.
So before we go into the first break, I'm going to throw out the two rule changes that we have so far. Do you like it or not? Just a yes or no. We'll start with the hip drop. Do you like the hip drop rule change or no?
Yes, I like it for player safety, but I think it's going to negatively impact the outcome of certain games.
Okay.
And for the kickoff rule, absolutely love it.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, I'm on board with the kickoff rule. I don't know if there's anybody that covers an NFL team that pays attention less to the kickoffs than I have over the last couple of years. Literally don't care. I always tell people around me, too. I'm like, hey, I'm going to go get something to drink if you guys want. And this is I cover a team with Kevontae Turpin. And yeah. I would always come back, sit down, hey, what did I miss? What did I miss? As a joke.
As a joke.
You know? Now, of course, we do also have like a million different ways to watch it over or whatever, you know, replays and things like that. But it just was like it became so like uninteresting, you know? So
a non-play.
Yeah, I'm fine with that one. The hip trap, the problem I have with that is I just think there's going to be such gray area that it's going to like kind of stall things and kind of maybe make stuff a little, I don't know. I guess what I'm saying, I don't like it for this upcoming season, but I think as seasons go on and players have to adjust to it, I don't think it's going to be like a terrible thing. I just think this first season with it probably won't be great.
I hate the hip drop rule.
Mm-hmm. You do?
I hate it. I despise it.
Couldn't tell.
Yeah. And then I love the kickoff rule.
Yeah.
Working with the XFL for that return season was fun because of that. Seeing the opportunities that guys have, seeing guys' values be reinvigorated in a sense, it's exciting. And I'm happy for guys who have been devalued over the years because now that value comes back as a return man. You haven't heard return man be valued in some time now because of the NFL rule changes of the wonder years. But I'm glad to see this return game come back. It's exciting. It's exciting. And they're looking for any way to keep fans in their seats. Well, congratulations.
I'm all for innovations to the game that allow for better excitement and better player safety. As long as you – and there's not a whole lot of those that could happen. Either one way or the other, you're taking one away. You're either taking away fan excitement for player safety or you're taking away player safety and you're in order to have fan excitement. I'm okay with both of these rules. I don't know if I love the hip drop rule mostly because of the gray area, because it is going to be so hard to enforce initially. But as these referees get to see it more, as these players get to build it into their fundamentals – I think it'll get easier to wean out of the game, and then ultimately it's safer in the long run. So I don't hate it. I'll probably put it as like a middle ground so far on what the hip drop rule looks like. I think the kickoff rule is interesting. I'm wondering if it's a long-term answer for the kickoffs in general.
So it's only for a year. They're only going to do it for 1 year for sure and then revisit it. So
there you go.
It just would be wild if it was like it's the way it's been these last few years. Then they go to this thing. And they're like, no. And then they come back to it, and you're just like, you look back on it, and you're like, hey, what happened in that 2024 season? What was all that wild stuff?
Exactly.
I'm saying that to basically mean that I don't think that they would go back. They agreed to this. They're not going to go back.
Yeah.
Might make some tweaks to it, but they're not going to go back.
Exactly. I think this is the end of the traditional NFL kickoff.
I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
And as far as the hip tackle, let me be clear. I like it until it costs us a game, and then I won't.
Then you won't like it at all. We'll be on here Mondays being like, hey, that's the dumbest rule I've ever seen. All right, we're going to take your calls when we come back here on Talking Cowboys. We're going to talk to Cowboys Nation, 888-855-2297. Give us a phone call. We'll ask you about some rule changes. Plus, the front office, Stephen Jones and company, spoke down in Orlando this past week as well. We'll hear from Jerry and Stephen, talk about those, and hear from the fans as we continue on with more Talking Cowboys right after this.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Black Rifle Coffee Company serves premium coffee to people who love America. When you drink Black Rifle Coffee, you are directly supporting veterans, law enforcement, and first responders in your community. Black Rifle's expert roasters love coffee almost as much as Texas loves football, so it makes sense that America's Coffee partnered with America's team. Go online at blackriflecoffee.com and fuel up with the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. That's blackriflecoffee.com to fuel up today.
Cowboys fans, after that move, we've just coined the term Rowdy Replay. Let's roll back the tape.
Okay, there's our mascot Rowdy cheering on the boys. And now he's on his phone, on his Bank of America mobile banking app?
Staying on top of his finances with his virtual financial assistant, Erica.
Bank of America's digital tools are so impressive. Cowboys fans just can't stop banking. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/can't stop banking.
Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Welcome back into Dear Doctor, the show where I answer life's questions with an ice-cold can of Dr. Pepper. Sheila, let's hear from our next caller, would you?
Dear Doctor, my friend supported me during a tough time, but what's the right gift that says, thanks for being a shoulder to cry on?
Okay, this one's easy. I say, give her a delicious Dr. Pepper. Nothing says, thanks, girl, better than a one-of-a-kind soda. Yes, any Dr. Pepper flavor will do. Now, just a reminder that I don't need to be a real doctor to know that Dr. Pepper is the one you deserve.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Back to Talkin' Cowboys.
Back here on Talking Cowboys, this portion of the show is brought to you by Quaker Oats, a super trusted superfood. Quaker yeah. Oats, the official oatmeal sponsor of the Dallas Cowboys. Isaiah, what you got there?
Oh, I had some oats. Yeah, I had some Quaker Oats.
What did you have there?
I had some Quaker Oats in there with a little craisins, okay, a little brown sugar. Listen, them things are gone. They are gone. So thank you very much for moving the showtime up to 9 o'clock.
Because, you're welcome.
Not the craisins.
I miss my oats.
Oh, yes.
Oh, man.
Sorry, I'm sure they're not a sponsor, but I had them.
It's fine. Craisins. I think it's just like a universal thing.
Yeah, it's not a brand.
So, okay, first off, I want to go back to the fact that your vocal tone and your accent just went straight Georgia.
Yeah.
Like, it went
versatile, baby.
You went back into like... Like you're on your way to Augusta National.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, you've got like a polo on.
I'm with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just, is that what Quaker Oats does to you?
I don't know. It did something to me because I even saw my boy Beamer on the way to go get some oats this morning.
Yep.
Yeah, that happened.
And then we all saw him. We were like, there he is. Yes. The oat goat.
The oat goat.
The oat goat.
Beamer would be the oat goat if he just brought oats every time we did Talking Cowboys.
I don't have a microwave back here. So.
Oh.
We'll fix that.
Cold oats.
Yeah.
Cold oats. All right. Give us a call. 888-855-2297. We're going to talk to the fans here. We need some phone calls. So go ahead and hop on the phone line. While we're waiting to talk to the fans, Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones took some time to talk at the Ritz-Carlton in Orlando. John, I know... There was a lot that was said over the last 24 hours between Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones. What were some of the things that stuck out to you?
Well, every time Jerry Jones talks about the all-in thing or is asked about it, it doesn't change. Like, and I'm on record as saying I think it was a big mistake for him to say this back at Senior Bowl, and now he just keeps doubling, tripling, quadrupling, whatever, down on it. And I just think that was a wrong way to go about it because it just makes fans think that you're going to be way more active than you were. And you're already dealing with a frustrated fan base with the way last season ended, with how talented that team was and the way that they played at home against the Packers. So that it's almost making it worse. But the problem is, too, is that there's not this definitive definition. So when there isn't, then that leads to more questions and it keeps it as a main topic. So, of course, he was asked about that and there wasn't a ton more clarity. And frankly, that the actions speak louder than the words. I mean, we're now in the third week of free agency, and they're having, I mean, no team has done less in free agency than the Cowboys. That's, and it's not even up for debate. That's so, so that was one. I didn't get a ton. I mean, so, okay. So Jerry talked about the idea of Tyler Smith moving out to left tackle, you know, if they don't find a tackle, let's say in this draft class or whatever. You know, they've said stuff like that in the past. That doesn't mean that they're not still really looking for an offensive tackle. I'm sure that that would be the pick if the right guy's there at 24. So, but, I mean, saying that basically, yeah, I mean, if we that's on the table as a possibility. I don't know if I necessarily think that's the best idea. But if you, if the right tackle isn't there that fits what you're doing, then, and I don't know, I wouldn't just force it, you know. Yeah. Like, I do think Tyler Smith is a better left guard than left tackle, but I don't think that there was a lot of advancements and things that were said there. To be honest with you, out of everything that Jerry, Steven, and then Mike McCarthy said this morning, I really thought the most newsworthy thing is that Mozzie Smith and Luke Schoonmaker both had offseason shoulder surgeries. So that gives you Mozzie Smith, Luke Schoonmaker, DeMarvion Overshown, your three top picks, all coming off of injuries that needed surgery. And now, while McCarthy said that they would be ready by training camp, that still is somewhat of a concern for
significant.
I mean, those are three guys that you need them all to be like significant contributors this year. There's not any growth. I mean, you have to be guys that contribute.
You talk about guys that need to take a second year jump, guys that need a full off season of NFL work, and you're not going to get that. You're going to have rehab for, like you said, maybe up till training camp where they'll be ready for training camp, but before that, it's rehab. It's not necessarily
Overshown?
Strength. And,
well, Overshown had a knee. I'm just saying he's coming off of a knee injury. So
Overshown wasn't a current surgery. Schoonmaker and Smith were current surgeries.
But still would be a lot to ask that he be 100% ready to go.
Sure, he hasn't seen live football since he was in Seattle playing preseason football.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
For like four snaps, basically, right?
Would you move Tyler Smith if the right pick is there?
I think wherever you're at, wherever the board is at, when you pick, just pick the best offensive lineman available, whether that's guard, center, tackle. Just pick one, and then we
figure out the rest.
Best available.
I'm kind of right there with you, actually.
Offensive line is the depth that offensive line in the draft is. I mean, just listen to Nick Harris and you on the draft show. I mean, it's clear as day. Just pick whoever is the best on the board right there.
Whoever's at the top of your board, don't window dress it. You can window dress it maybe a little bit just to pigeonhole offensive line, but you need a center. You need a left tackle. You might need a guard in the future. Who knows? You just pick somebody. Pick somebody that's really good and ride with it.
And also another shout to Nick Harris, though, with his mock draft that he posted on DallasCowboys.com. I love the idea of moving back and still drafting offensive linemen while getting more picks in the process because we need them.
That's the best case scenario.
With all of the comments made by Stephen Jones, Jerry Jones, I really wish there was a sort of Belichick going on where it's like, we're on to the draft. You know what I mean? Like every like all in, you know, question mark that you get. It's just like, we're on to the draft, man. This is clearly, it's clear as day to me.
Yeah.
I think there are moves that you can make, but it's like, we're going to get stars, hopefully, in the draft. I mean,
we're on to Cincinnati.
Got to find from there. Hey, on to Cincinnati. Thank you, Bill. All right, we got Scott in Fort Worth on the line. Scott, you're on Talking Cowboys. What's on your mind?
Hey, how's it going, guys? I just had a comment, I guess, about the new kickoff rule. So the kicker can't pass the 50-yard line now? Is that the rule?
I will look for clarity on that. Is that
the rule? I was reading up on it, and I think they're proposing that, but I was just making a comment that kickers like David Buehler back in the day won't be able to run 4-5 now and go knock a returner's head off. But just was going to comment on that. See what you guys thought.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Scott.
And Buehler's still around.
Yeah.
I talked to him the other day. He's still around Dallas.
Oh, yeah.
Is he really?
Yeah. I'm supposed to see him tonight.
Still doing his thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Still big.
I mean, that would probably be a loophole to the whole thing, right? Is having a kicker that's jacked and just have him running down the field full head of steam, unblocked, because then you've got one or two return men back. If it's two returners, he'd be unblocked all the way back to the return man. So, I mean, kicker will kick the ball from his own 35-yard line. 10 of his teammates will line up on the team's 40-yard line. The receiving team, 9 or 10 blockers, will line up on their own 35-yard line. The kick must land between the 20-yard line and the goal line. A kick that either goes out of bounds or lands short of the 20 will be awarded to the receiving team at the 40-yard line. Mm. A kick that goes into the end zone for a touchback will go out to the receiving team's 30-yard line. Other than the kicker and the returners, no players may move till the ball either touches the ground or is fielded by a returner. The rule was changed as a one-year trial. We talked about that. I'm trying to find where it says kicker can't run past the 50. But if that's the case, I think I understand it, because then it's just a numbers game by that point, right?
No.
What do you think?
I don't have a lot of thoughts on that. One other thing I wanted to note from the Jerry Jones thing, too, I forgot to mention, is the when we're talking about left tackle, Jerry said that they just didn't have room in the budget to re-sign Tyron Smith. They couldn't have given him that contract, the incentive-laden contract that the Jets gave him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, late last week, Tyron Smith talked to Jets reporters, and he said it came down to the Jets and the Cowboys. So it makes me believe that it was one of those things where the Jets made that offer, and then the Cowboys I believe that Tyron gave them a chance to be like, hey, this is what's on the table. I'd love to come back if you guys can give us this. It sounds like that they didn't see that that could fit in the budget. Now, of course, anything can fit in the budget. It just they're looking down the line to paying Micah, CD, and Dak. But I can see where that's a player leaving that is obviously frustrating, because it leaves a wide open hole at left tackle. Now, I will say, if it's frustrating right now, but if you go into the season and he's hurt the entire time, there'll be a lot of people that go, yeah, I'm glad that they didn't give him that deal.
It could go the other way too.
How much is anybody around here talking? And there were some heated debates in this room and on this show about Darius Leonard, and no one's bringing. I mean, Darius Leonard's still out there. Anybody he's available. Remember how we went back and we talked about, oh, Shaq Leonard's out there. Like, it's going to come down to them and the Eagles or whatever. And it's just like, so I'm just saying that we can get fired up and say whatever right now, but I find it hard to believe that if he plays 8 games next season that anyone's going to be going like, man, what a disaster that was. They like
let him walk.
Yeah, everyone would be like, yeah, it was good. It was a good time to get away from that, you know. But right now, it's easy to look at and be like, man, that's a huge mistake. They have net left tackle.
Yeah,
you know,
I don't think they let him walk without knowing that they're going to address offensive line in the draft. That's the full blown plan. I've used the word pigeonholed yourself into offensive line. That was part of the plan. This is a deep offensive line class. You're going to address it early. And Tyron Smith, let's be completely frank, he's 33 years old and he's missed 30-plus games in the last 4 years. So if you're going to move on from a guy, it's something like that.
I just think a lot of people would feel a lot better if you had seen enough from, say, Richards or Ball or Let's Go to where you're just like, okay, well, this guy's not going to obviously be Tyron Smith, but we have something in place here that, like, honestly, that I feel like that's what people feel about, what's his name? I forgot his name.
TJ Bass?
Yeah, I almost call him TJ Lang.
Well, I was going to say
TJ Bass. Yeah,
they've seen things from Brock Hoffman and TJ Bass that they like, so then you push Tyron Smith out there. You could line up right now, and your starting offensive line would be left tackle Tyler Smith, left guard TJ Bass, center Brock Hoffman, right guard Zach Martin, right tackle Terrence Steele.
And that's the worst Cowboys line of probably the last 20 years.
But completely agree, but you can line up and get
right,
it done.
Right,
you can line up and do it.
Yeah.
That's not what they're going to do. Let me make that sure.
Look in the camera and make sure everyone knows that.
That is not what's going to happen, everybody, okay? Unless injuries happen. Let me asterisk that. But you can line up and get it done right now. That's not their plan. They're going to address it in the draft. They're going to go get a top pick, and they're going to put him either at guard, center, or tackle.
If any team in the league that's picking an offensive line in the first round, I think you feel pretty comfortable as a fan.
I don't even know what betting odds are, because I'm not a betting man myself, thanks to NFL gambling policies. But but if I were a betting man and I'm looking at offensive line, I don't even know what the odds are, but I would hammer it. That's what it is. That's where they're going to go with their first pick, and that's how it ultimately works out. We need to take our second break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about what Steven had to say about Mozzie Smith. Do you expect something out of Mozzie Smith going into next year? Plus, we'll still take your phone calls, 888-855-2297. If you want to sneak in a last-second phone call, go ahead. Get on the line right now. More Talking Cowboys right after this.
They say champions are remembered, but legends are never forgotten. United Ag and Turf offers a winning lineup of John Deere equipment built to tackle any challenge on and off the field. Legendary John Deere tractors, combines, residential mowers, commercial mowers, compact construction equipment, Gator utility vehicles, and a full line of golf and sports turf equipment. United Ag and Turf, the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com to find a location near you.
Are you ready to take coffee off your grocery list forever? Black Rifle Coffee Club is here to help. As a coffee club member, you'll get your favorite coffees roasted, packaged, and shipped to your door free of charge on your preferred schedule. Set it, forget it, and never run low on coffee again. Members also get exclusive deals on coffee, products, and discounts from partner brands. Ease your mind and let Black Rifle worry about your coffee supply. Go to blackriflecoffee.com to join the coffee club today.
It's the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys, Jack Black. And right now, Cowboys fans can get 15% off their $75 order. Plus, because every deal needs a playmaker, your order will include a free five-piece skincare set and free shipping. The Jack Black Playmaker is four of Jack's favorites and a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Make a play for the playmaker at getjackblack.com/cowboys with the code COWBOYSVIP. That's getjackblack.com. Jackblack.com/cowboys with the code COWBOYSVIP.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Back to Talking Cowboys.
Back here on Talking Cowboys, this segment of the show is brought to you by Invisalign, the official smile of the Dallas Cowboys. Talking Cowboys always brought to you by Black Rifle Coffee Company, the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. I drove by your store in Waco the other day.
Did you know?
We talked about when we were on 35. Yeah. I was going to see the parents.
Did you get an RTD?
I didn't get a chance to stop by. Yeah, I was.
We need some more RTDs, Black Rifle.
Agreed. We need more help at DT. Dallas Cowboys. Mm. How about that? Following the departure of Jonathan Hankins.
Who's that?
Yeah, we talked about him last week. Interesting. He may listen to the show because we said, What was the best fit?
We're blaming Nick.
Yeah, that's totally on
it's Nick's fault. Nick said it on the air.
Yeah.
Him and Leonard Williams.
Mm-hmm. He's like, Seattle just sounds like a great fit for him. Adam Dirty, line coach, now the defensive coordinator up there in Seattle.
If Dirty doesn't go there, I don't think it makes that much sense. But that kind of fits.
And they were really close here. So, Jonathan Hankins, the door. He's gone. Neville Gallimore.
He gone.
He's out the door. That's not as big of a loss if you really look at it. But depth-wise, yeah, sure. So, you got one defensive tackle off of last year's 53-man roster, and that's Mr. Mozzie Smith.
Isn't that the position that we needed to address?
Yes. Huh. They addressed it. Huh. They went and spent a first-round pick on it.
No, I'm talking about after this season. We needed to address it. Following the 23-24 season, that was an area that was circled that we needed to address.
Mm-hmm.
And now we lost one, two, three guys? Two guys.
Two
interior D linemen.
Did you see the deal that he got with Seattle? 1 year, 2.05 million, 300,000 guaranteed.
Yeah.
That was the deal.
Hmm. Interesting.
Oof. So sign me up for that.
So if you said defensive tackle was the number one need, what do you think would be second? What do you think was second that needed to be fixed?
No. I said that was one of the positions.
Okay, but what would you say one of the others would be?
D tackle was number two for me.
What was number one?
O line.
Okay, well, I guess the way I'm looking at it is run defense, run offense.
Yeah.
And neither of those do you feel sitting here
no,
today.
No, they're worse. No.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what exactly yeah, what I'm yeah. highlighting. Yeah, I have my highlighter out.
Oh, yeah,
and no, I'm saying that was an area that needed yeah. to be addressed with the current
oh, yeah.
the roster we had mm-hmm. at the end of the season.
No, I'm with
and
you.
And now we've lost the two guys.
Yeah.
We lost the starter, and we lost a guy who comes in after him.
But you can also say, and I agree, that's what I'm saying, but it's also just as bad on offense because
you
lost the starter.
Lost the guy who snaps the ball.
Wait, you lost the guy that plays in the left tackle, and you lost your running back.
Yeah. And, oh, so. Don't forget the guy who snaps the ball.
Yeah.
Lost
if they
too.
Needed to fix one of these, I would be like, oh, yeah, they can get it done in this draft and whatever, but there's just a lot of holes here. A
lot. And that's the thing.
Gaping.
You can look.
Gaping holes.
You can look at other parts of this team and say, okay, they're getting DeMarvian Overshown back. They're getting Trayvon Diggs back. What's those are both nice to have. But you haven't improved anywhere on your run defense or your rushing offense.
You can't play this game without the trenches.
Okay. Between the run.
But they played for us last year, and it was still pretty bad.
And now you go, you know, you went backwards.
Between the run game and the run defense, who's under the most pressure from a player standpoint to take a bigger job?
No, it's...
It's got to be Mozzie.
It's Mozzie. Absolutely it's Mozzie. But how much does he weigh?
I mean, he was probably playing at 296 by the end
he
of the year.
He weighed 296.
What do you think he was?
285, yeah. maybe?
I don't think there's anybody that they could draft, trade for, sign that would get the fan base hyped in preseason as much as if Mozzie Smith looked like a monster.
Yeah.
That, I mean, just because of, one, the investment in him, and then two, just because of how badly it's needed at that position.
And it's like, know who your D coordinator is. That's what's baffling to me.
You don't think he has a say in any of this?
I'm sure he does, but he doesn't have a say in the money.
Yeah.
Right? But you have Zimmer. Name a D line where Zimmer didn't have gargantuans at the defensive line position.
Linval Joseph is still out there.
That's one of his guys, I know. I played with Linval. I played a long time ago. Okay? It was one of my teammates.
Give him a call then. What are you waiting
on? That was
on?
A long time ago, Kyle. I've been retired for 11 years. Okay? Long time.
I don't know, man, with these new kickoff rules. Listen here. You might have a comeback.
Yeah. Listen. It's concerning to me.
Yeah.
That Dallas has these specific holes in their roster with this new D coordinator. Like, it's really alarming to me because there's not enough. You would have to hit on every draft pick or hit on some draft picks and kill it in free agency to address all these positional gaps that you have. And you don't have the time. First of all, you don't have the personnel to choose from. That pot is picked through, right? In the draft, you have necessities that you have to go after. So you're either going to be playing with the leftovers at running back, which is where you're at, okay, unless you draft somebody, or you're going to be playing with older veteran guys like we got Hankins before who came in and had an impact.
I think that's what's going to happen.
That's what's going to happen, but like you're doing that at multiple positions.
Yeah.
You need a center, you need a left tackle, you need two D tackles, you need a running back.
At least.
Oh, and let's not even talk about the linebacker and everything else that you need.
Yeah. Especially with this rule change in the kickoff, you need some linebacker
need some
help
linebackers.
There's more gaps, but I'm saying but. Even before linebacker, you have to put dogs in front of linebacker.
Yeah.
So you need two D tackles. You need one who's a freaking workhorse, and you need another cat who can rotate through. And then you need two guys on offense. You need somebody who literally touches the ball and makes the calls on the offensive line. You lost that. I understand everybody doesn't talk much about Tyler Biadasz. I wasn't a huge fan because of his physical limitations. You need somebody who is literally smart, play caller, has size, who's going to protect your quarterback and get the whole offensive line on track. Mm-hmm. Oh, and then, by the way, you need the most important position next to that at the left tackle position.
Hypothetical here for the group. Let's go around. We'll start with you. One position, I can guarantee you that they will have a star at that position next year or next season. What position would you pick?
Running back.
Mm. Really? Okay.
Wow.
Out of their needs?
Out of their needs. Yes. Sorry.
Back.
Out of their needs.
Running back.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll go next because I don't think it's even close. It's defensive tackle. If you told me they could have a star defensive tackle, when does that happen?
Well, no. You're saying, like, the probability?
No. I'm saying if you could, I'm giving you a hypothetical.
D-tackle. Yeah,
you
misunderstood the question.
So are we talking like having an Aaron Donald? We're talking about a star?
No.
Are we talking like a
Pro Bowl player?
Okay, Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
That's like a planet.
Yeah.
I'd say offensive line, whoever. I still like the D tackle idea.
Okay.
They still need it. Don't worry. But I would do offensive line.
Just for the sake of the Democratic process here,
yeah.
I'm going with a linebacker.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Okay. I would love to see a star.
Pro Bowl linebacker?
Yeah. Yeah. Someone clean up the mess. I mean, because you're going to have Micah out there on the outsides, obviously, and D-Law. So I think someone to clean up all of the mess in the middle.
I thought about linebacker, but in order to have a Pro Bowl linebacker, you probably need a really good defensive tackle.
100%.
Yeah. And I don't know if you have that right now.
I think you can have a serviceable one.
Sure.
And I think Jonathan Hankins was that.
Mm.
I think he was really good at cleaning up the mess there. But
how much did Hankins weigh again?
But we still had issues.
I think it was like 3 feet.
With people running the ball.
And that's why we always say he needed somebody else linebacker. Next to him. Well, no, he needed somebody next to him.
Yeah.
Hankins needed another dog. We said that. We're talking about that. I was yelling at the dog on mountaintops at the trade deadline. I said, get somebody next to Hankins.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, he needs a bass brother. And second of all, if he goes down, you're screwed.
Yeah.
Well, now you're screwed because Hankins is gone. Hankins is gone. Gallimore is gone. I don't care how much you valued him or not. You don't have nobody to rotate through. Armstrong is gone. You lost 3 D linemen who were all contributors.
Dante Fowler contributed,
I like
too.
This.
Nice. Yeah, defensive 4 tackle.
D linemen, sorry.
It's just like,
forgot about
they
that.
Haven't had a Pro Bowl D tackle since Ratliff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just.
That would be fun.
It's such an important position, too, and it just hasn't. They haven't been able to hit. I mean, they've tried, but.
Well,
there's only one rat.
Yeah, only one rat. Maybe we can find another rat. We'll figure it out. All right.
They didn't have to use a high pick to get him. Why don't you just find another
just
one?
Just find one of them. Yeah, it's going to be good.
You got to walk around looking for the angry man.
Can't wait for Cowboys Nation to go back and clip our facial expressions as that final segment went along. And we were talking about different needs. Because it was not pretty. All right, that does it for us here on Talking Cowboys. Hope you had as much fun as we did. We'll be back next week, back at our normal time, 11 a.m. Central Time. Or 10 a.m. Central Time, excuse me. For Chris Beam, Isaiah Stanback, John Machota, Josh Rodriguez, I'm Kyle Yeoman saying so long from the Star in Frisco. We'll see you next week on Talking Cowboys.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!